Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. Yes, good morning, good morning. How we start our day is how we live our day, right? And guess what? We're going to start our day with a little Frankie Beverly and Maze. Those big brown eyes. I could tell you falling in love with me by the look in your eyes. Right here on the Love Journey family. Let's do it.
Doesn't matter, baby, no, no. I've got you here with me.
Wow, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine Ann Ingram. And that was Frankie Beverly and Maze right here on The Love Journey. The look in your eyes. He said, I could tell you're falling in love with me by the look in your eyes. All right, let me keep it moving, doing what I do good, right? Not doing what I need to learn to do better, right? See, I think if I could do all the things in the world, I'd probably be a singer, huh? That's just love to sing. Okay, y'all, I'm going to get back to what I do well. Let's get ready and turn within. Recognizing that there is only one power and one presence on this universe, and we recognize this great spirit that is known by many names as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that God is not. And so I want you to invite the presence as we move into the presence, moving from our head into our heart right now. I just want you to move into your heart. Because the heart has wisdom, family. And in this moment, as we acknowledge the heart, the move into the presence of the energy of all that God is, I just want you to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. And as we become intentional about the breath, I want you to take in a deep breath. Breathing in through the nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight, and then I want you to release the breath. So family, together, let's breathe. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe, family. And release. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And last time, be still and know that I am God. Breathe. Release.
Day 5. A prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive my Father. Blessed and Heavenly Father, today I ask for and open myself to receive your forgiveness for all of the judgments, bitterness, and resentments I have held about and against my earthly Father. I ask to be freed from any and all sorrow, regret, grief, depression, sadness, or suffering that I have attached to my Father and his life. I ask to be lifted above any and all hurts, disappointments, and abandonments, any rage or anger and shame or blame that I have associated with my Father and his life. I ask that you remind me to remember that, like me, my earthly father is a child of God, welcomed and accepted into your love. I ask that you remind me to remember when he wasn't there, you were. What he could not do, did not do, you did. I ask that you create in me a clear mind and a loving heart for my Father, and teach me how to see him from a higher place. I am so grateful to know that I have always been guided, protected, and loved by the Father. I pray for my earthly father to recognize that this is also true for him. I rest in thee. I let it be. And so it is. Today, I forgive my father. Gratitude Meditation. This guided meditation is offered to support you in creating the experience of gratitude within your mind and body. Gratitude is the quality or feeling of being grateful or thankful. It is an expression of deep appreciation within yourself that is extended outward. In order to receive the full benefit of this meditative experience, it is recommended that you listen during a time and in a place where you will not be disturbed for 5 to 7 minutes. As you take a long, deep inhale, focus your attention and your energy right in the center of your chest, the center of love within your being. And breathe into the center of your chest, holding the thought form, I am so grateful. And exhale that breath. Again, breathing directly into the center of your chest, I am so grateful. And allow that breath to be released. And see, feel, imagine, intended to be so, that someone you love unconditionally and someone you know loves you unconditionally is standing right before them. See them with your mind's eye. If you can't see them, feel their presence. And if you can't feel their presence, just imagine that they're there, or set an intention that this person that I love unconditionally, who loves me unconditionally, is standing right before me. Eye to eye, heart to heart, soul to soul. And as if you could speak directly into their heart and into their being, simply say, thank you. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for your love. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to love you. I'm so grateful. And take a long, deep inhale. And exhale. And allow the feeling, the experience, the expression of gratitude to fill your being from the soles of your feet to the top of your head. Allow it to radiate and vibrate within you as you hold a thought for, I am so grateful, grateful, grateful I am grateful for this moment, this life, this time, this experience, just breathing gratitude, long, deep inhale, I am so grateful, slow, complete exhale, grateful, I am. Again, a long, deep inhale. I am so grateful. And a slow, complete exhale. Grateful I am. And breathe and experience the radiance of gratitude. And bring your awareness to the gentle ebb and flow of your breath. And together we take a long, deep inhale in and drop it with the sound of again, a long, deep inhale and drop it. And wiggle your toes and your fingers, and give your body a big stretch, allowing the energy to be balanced and reintegrated at all levels of your being. And whenever you're ready, you may open your eyes and focus on something in the room as you take a long, deep inhale and drop it. And allow yourself to just bask in the radiance of gratitude. And as you move into your day, be sure to do something good for you. And be blessed.
Dreams are dreams, some dreams come true.
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janina and Ingram. That was Layla Hathaway, Angel, a remake from back in the day with my girl Anita Baker, Angel. Well, family, they say how you live your day is how you start your day. Well, I tell you, I'm starting my day really exciting. It's been an exciting experience so far right here on The Love Journey with you and me. We're going to talk about what the science of the mind today is saying. Take your feel. One of my favorite scriptures, they starting off with a quote. It's based on Ephesians 3:20. God will do abundantly, exceedingly, above all that I ask or think. Because I honor her, her blessings will chase me down and overtake me. This is a quote by William T. Pearson. God will do abundantly, exceedingly above all that I ask or think. Because I honor her, her blessings will chase me down and overtake me. Come on, blessings. Chase me down and overtake me right now. In the Science of the Mind on page 33, it says, when we learn to trust the universe, we shall be happy, prosperous, and well. We must learn to come under that divine government and accept the fact that nature's table is ever filled. Never was there a cosmic famine. See, I thought this would be a perfect follow-up to yesterday's guide, since it moves us beyond fear into the wholehearted acceptance of the kingdom we were talking about. It's thrilling to imagine blessings chasing us down. They do, you know, if we live in an attitude of gratitude and expectancy of good. Let me say that again, because sometimes I don't think we really believe wholeheartedly that blessings can chase us down. Thrilling to imagine blessings chasing us down. They do, you know. If we live in an attitude of gratitude and expectancy of good, when I keep that mindset that I have never failed to be delighted with surprising gifts of all kinds, knowing that God's abundance is ever flowing, we can allow ourselves to be the honored guests at the bouquet of life and take our fill. Whew, that's just a powerful thought. Have seconds if you desire. Have thirds. Even. There's always more. Our host unceasingly urges us to fill our plate again and again and again. Come on, Mother Father God. How wonderful is that? When the circumstances of my life don't appear to be abundant, it's time to take stock of my beliefs rather than suspect that there isn't enough, or at least enough to include me. Religious science teaches us that our thoughts become things, and our beliefs create and shape the conditions of our life experience. So if I'm still sitting hungry at the bouquet of life, ooh, that's some big stuff right there. What can I do about it? If I am sitting hungry at the bouquet of life, what can I do about it? I call on my host. I call on the Mother, Father, God. I call on the Creator, honoring it with my love, honoring it with my gratitude, because there's no crumbs for me. I want the main entree and all the fixings and the desserts too. Then, having given thanks, I take up my metaphorical fork and knife and eat it, because our host will never force feed us. You see, I don't believe in having our cake and not eating it too. We ourselves must do the work of receiving that which is offered. Let us drink a toast to our joy and prosperity today. Come on, family. This is some good stuff. I got this. Just go back over this whole thing. Sometimes some stuff is so good that you got to read it again and reread it again until it becomes a part of who you are. See, it's about accepting the kingdom. It's about understanding how to use our spiritual tools. It's thrilling to imagine blessings chasing us down. They do, you know. Especially if we live in an attitude of gratitude and expectancy of good. Let me say that again. Especially if we live in an attitude of gratitude and an expectancy of good. When I keep that mindset, I have never failed to be delighted with surprising gifts of all kinds. See, knowing that God's abundance is ever flowing, we can allow ourselves to be the honored guest at the bouquet of life. I keep saying bouquet, don't I? It's really being the honored guest at the banquet of life. There's no bouquet. I don't know where I get that. But let me say that again. Knowing that God's abundance is ever flowing, we can allow ourselves to be the honored guest at the banquet of life and take our fill. And even have seconds, thirds, fourths, fifths, sixths. See, it doesn't matter how much you want, because there's always more. The more you go to the banquet and take, the more it fills up. Because there's always more, and our host is unceasingly urging us to fill our plate again, again and again and again and again and again and again. But how wonderful is that? You see, when the circumstances of our lives don't appear abundant, it's time to take stock of our beliefs rather than suspect that there isn't enough. I want to say that again. When there appears not to be enough abundance, it's time to take stock of our beliefs rather than suspect that there isn't enough, or at least enough to include me. See, religious science teaches us that our thoughts become things, our beliefs create and shape the condition of our life experiences. So if I'm sitting hungry at the banquet of life, What can I do about it? I want you to marinate on that. If you're sitting hungry right now, you're hungry means sitting in some sense of lack, not having enough, struggling, going from paycheck to paycheck. Why are you still sitting at a banquet of unlimited bounty with not enough? What can I do about it? I call on my host. You see, I call on my Heavenly Mother, Father, Divine Presence, Creator of all things, honoring it with my love and gratitude. Thank you, Mother, Father, God. You see, because there's going to be no crumbs for me. I came to eat from the main entree and all the fixings and the dessert too. And then having given thanks, I take up my metaphorical fork and knife and eat, because our host will never force feed us. We ourselves must do the work of receiving that which is offered. Let's drink a toast to our joy and prosperity. I take my fill of God's abundance this day and give thanks in return. Come on, family. I take my fill of God's abundance this day and give thanks in return. Notice this. Something that we need to really marinate on. So many of us are still struggling and feeling the effects of scarcity and lack, because our belief system hasn't quite moved into the place that we can accept the fact that the kingdom put us in a banquet of life, and in the banquet of life we can eat from the unlimited bounty of the universe's good, which is never ending, never ceasing. Because what did he say? The cosmic, there was never a cosmic famine. I really want you to marinate on that thought. There was never a cosmic famine. There was never a shortage in heaven. So if there's never a shortage in heaven, then how do we claim our power was rightfully ours? How do we claim it? Reclaim what was divinely designed for us the day placed into the womb of our mother's belly. Come on, somebody. Ephesians 3:20 says what? Now I abundantly will give you more than you can ever think, ask, or imagine. Somebody better say amen to that. Come on now. I will give you more than you can ever think, ask, or imagine. We live in an abundant universe, but yet, how is it that we still struggle? What is it that keeps us in lack? I think a lot of us don't have a proper perspective on abundance. Some of us might be on the path. We desire abundance, but yet it keeps eluding us. Some of us still believe that money is the root of all evil. I was teaching, and it's interesting, I was teaching a money workshop in a New Thought church. And so I never thought that a lady would come up to me in a New Thought church. Wonder what, why she's there if this is still her thought process. She said to me, "The money is the root of all evil." I said, "Money is the root to all evil, huh?" I said, "Well, you know, you get to choose what your belief system is." She said, no, it's in the Word. It's in the Word. It's in the Word. I said, well, if we really studied the Word, the original text really meant if you put money before all things, if we worship money, if nothing else is important to us. But that's a big difference. See, money is just energy in a physical form. Energy is what all creation is made of. And to hate money is to hate energy. And to hate energy is to hate existence. And to hate existence is to hate God. Because everything is energy. But see, we need to just get our priorities straight. Money is not a cause. Money is not if. The cause of money in a spiritual life is the universe. A major shift happens when we take our eyes off the current situation of limited finances and focus on abundance of the source. I know that in this moment that doesn't pay your bills, right? But over time, if you keep it up, your life will change. You see, I went from having a job, making six figures one day, to being laid off. I went from a dream to no idea how or what to do and just started taking directions from the universe one day at a time. One day at a time. The Spirit said, you don't do what you do for the money. Sure, I love making a living. And I would do what I do for free. And I've done that. But one thing about life is if you keep consistency and keep doing your work, and I'm so grateful that the universe will sustain you and the universe will begin to sustain you beyond your own ever think, whatever you could think, ask, or imagine. It will sustain you beyond if your consistency will still be there. You see, in the beginning of this journey, I had to learn how to place all of my problems, my desires, and needs at the feet of the universe and turn it all over. It was scary as all get up. But I can tell you right now, I never went without. I had to make some very gnarly sacrifices, like living and releasing. But I had to learn to trust. See, I had to learn to believe and trust that no problem or no big was too big for my God. Let me say that again. I had to learn to believe and trust that no problem and no bill was too big for my God. I also had to learn to follow my own inner guidance above what anyone else told me. I also had to learn how to hold the belief that the nature of the universe is abundance, and so that is my natural birthright. I just had to learn how to allow it. See, money is not evil. I come to tell you that money is energy. And the universe will always provide. You'll always have you, and you'll always have the love of the universe, and that's all you need to come together with the idea that you can bring the energy of money into your experience. We take our love off of money and place it where it should be. We begin to thrive in ways we never knew possible. It can be scary at first, but over time, this will and does work. The path is a leap of faith. We must have faith that as we are walking our path, that even our bills will be taken care of, sometimes through effort, hard work, and sometimes through grace. Come on, favor and grace. Let us take our self-worth and feelings of security off something that always changes. Let's put our faith in something that never changes, the love of this living universe that we came from and live within. Money is a tool. Money is energy in physical form. It's the highest form of energy in the universe. It's love. Then put your faith and eyes toward that. Take action toward that, and money will follow in perfect divine ways. See, our job is to trust and make the first move. I'm excited to be living a kind of life that defies the economy and the market. because I'm learning to put my time and my faith into what is true, that God will never leave nor forsake, and that everything I receive from the bounty of the Holy Spirit's goodness. And when I pray, I give thanks for the food that I am eating from the bounty of God's goodness. When I receive money, I give thanks for the bounty of God's goodness that has come to me in the form of financial substance, knowing that there's an unlimited source that I can choose from. How many of us really want to change our experience with money? And you don't have to answer this if you don't want to. You don't have to star six or press one. But if you really want to change your relationship to money, how many of you really did those money consciousness worksheets already? If you haven't, then you're just talking. If you haven't been doing your work with your consciousness worksheets, then you haven't, you're really not trying. You're just talking. You're just coming to be a hearer of the word. And if you just want to keep being a hearer, that's okay, because eventually you may become a doer of the word. But see, you got to be committed to the commitment of you. You have to be committed to the commitment of you. We got to stop chasing perfection, because perfection is a fleeting ghost that the ego and the society has pressured us into thinking we can attain. Chasing this ghost would exhaust you and keep you from feeling your own joy. But what you can do is what you can do right now is begin by taking small steps. Small steps, and stop talking about it and really be about it. Who do you want to actually become? And whose approval are you waiting on? You see, so many of us are trying to prove something. Most of us are trying to prove something to our parents, because we just want to hear somebody, our mother, our father, say, I'm proud of you. You did a good job. So you think you're doing what they want you to do. I just want you to know the only permission you need is your permission to do what you need to do and be who you need to be. You're already more than enough. You already have all that you need, want, and desire to get what you need to get, to have what you want to have. You don't need nobody else's permission to be who you've been called to be. What are you waiting on? Why are you still playing small? Why are we staying in relationships and things that keeps us from experiencing our fullness? It's really interesting how our school system teaches us everything except to prepare us for school, the school of life. We spend years upon years in taking information. A lot of it we never use. That's why a lot of times I wonder about our children if they transition out of school and enter into the real world. They feel like deer caught in headlights, completely unprepared and afraid. Because we're not taught to play full out. We're not taught to hear our passion. We're not taught to live our dream. And so today, I come to want to end this conversation with, how can we awaken our soul's purpose? What did your soul come to experience on this planet? Awaken your soul's purpose. What did your goal of your soul come to? I remember a lady before she passed away, she used to say, this has never happened before in the history of the world. She used to say that all the time. And it wasn't until after her death that I fully understand the importance of this world. You see, this is an extraordinary, unprecedented time in human history. A time of powerful transformation where every single one of us on this planet has the opportunity to align with the purpose of our soul and to claim our unique gifts. I know you said, well, how is that possible now? See, the answer is because finally there's enough light anchored on the planet, enough light being linked and connected and working together. We have reached tipping point. We are past the point of no return, family. We can consider ourselves all winners right now. What if what is happening on the planet has never happened before? What if we just succeeded where previous civilizations failed? Sacred texts in every culture attest to this. What we are talking about is planetary awakening. Not just a few, we are talking about everyone. I could feel it. I could feel the shift in my body, in my heart, in my mind. It's no longer based on a wing and a prayer. It's an intense, intrinsic, visceral knowing that every cell and every pore of our being know. We have found a way to reconnect to the light of our souls. And if I can do it, if you can do it, everyone can do it. Our inner landscape, like in a coastline after devastating tsunami or Humpty Dumpty after having a great fall, when none of the king horses or none of the king's men could put poor Humpty Dumpty back together again, we could, because we know we're now plugged into a wellspring that exceeds our limit, our mortal capacity. What used to be a trickle now feels like an expansive, tingling, benevolent river of energy flowing through our bodies from our heads to our toes. See, this overflow from this wellspring has ignited a birthing of a creation called you. Each and every one of us came here carrying a unique piece of creation. That piece, that particular ray, has an inexorable need to culminate through us and express itself in and through our bodies as a loving action. You see, this is our soul purpose. Our soul purpose, our ray of light, when refracted through our physical being, illuminates a unique perspective. This is our gift. All that is being asked of us is that we awaken this precious gift, that we nurture it, protect it, and honor it, and practice that facilitates embodying it on a daily basis by sharing it with each other and with the world. And this is our job. This is our service. This is our ministry. Each and every one of us is a key, and we have the ability to unlock each of our masteries. It's a win-win process. We are all peers. We're all here to do this thing together. We are all here to shine, to emanate, and to link to each other through our hearts, extending as a web of light and encircling our beautiful planet like a shield of illuminated life streams. Oh, family, for all of us who have incarnated at this moment in space and time, we are either the most blessed and honored souls in all creation to deserve this incredible opportunity. We all have front row VIP passes to the universe's most coveted event, the coming of age of the human race. This is the moment where we get to emerge as radiant beings of light, celestial emissaries in human form, overflowing with love for ourselves, for each other, and for the source. See, everyone was invited to the party. Yes, everyone was invited to the party, but some of us might be tardy to the party because we're still looking the other way. But we all get invited to the party, and we all get to wear the crown. And I'm bursting with joy, and I'm so grateful this morning to be alive, to love and to live and to play full out. You've been invited to awaken to your own purpose. I was talking to a friend. And we were talking about our experience of going away for 10 days on the silence retreat. And they were nervous, and like they'd never been able to. And they don't know if they're going to be able to do it. Our other friend left because they couldn't do it. And I said, well, I haven't been thinking about that. I've just been thinking about the fact that I'm going on a date with myself. You see, I done wrote down a date that I'm taking myself on a 10-day date with my soul. You see, I've been in these, what I call a lovatarian thought, you know, like a lovatarian diet, choosing loving thoughts over fearful delusions, giving up fear like giving up sugar. Much like sugar, fear is a sneaky ingredient that hides in everything. Just when you think you get it under control, it pops up again. You see, therefore, releasing fearful patterns require you to become a lovatarian. And so today, I want you to become a lovatarian. And take your own date. Your soul date. A date person that is the most valuable player in your world. And that's who you are. Become a lovatarian today and love the gift that your soul is on this planet. Good morning, good morning. You have a question? 4924. You're on the air. Good morning. All right, thank you. Just press the one for him by mistake. All right, if you have any questions, comments, or concern, press one on Blog Talk, star 6 on teleconference line. And I want to remind you that Wednesday we're going to be having a very powerful conversation on having your say, finding your voice, speaking your truth, being authentic, unapologetic about your own truth. Good morning, good morning. 708, last 4, 1633. Good morning. Oh, with the beautiful baby in the background. All right. I don't know what's going on.
Good morning. Okay.
Good morning.
Hey, this is can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yes, I can.
Yeah, I want to thank you for this morning's broadcast, but and I also want to thank you for participating in our prayer vigil on Thursday. Ministers called in just speaking about how they felt blessed by the whole experience, and I just thank you for saying yes and for your conscious, beautiful prayers.
Thank you for having the courage to do it. Can you tell us about your October 13th event?
October 13th is coming up, and we're having a festival of healing in Baltimore. And I know you might be able to come, and please do, you know, and bring the entire family of Love Journey listeners. But what we're doing is we're having a festival of healing in Baltimore, and they're going to have many different practitioners, comedic yoga, restorative yoga, meditation, qigong, reiki, masterminding around prosperity. We have at least two, perhaps three very good workshops for youth on developing entrepreneurial skills, and there's going to be a marketplace, food vendors. It's all day long. It starts at 9, it goes until 5:45, and We have a lot of people out of the area who are sending in donations for the seniors that want to come, for women in recovery, for youth, and for men on the move. There are lots of different ways to contribute, and so thank you for giving me the opportunity to say that. People want more information. My phone number is 202-487-8279. There's a PayPal page that you can pay on, and it should be up on Facebook later on today as well. So I'll come back on maybe later on in the weekend, give more information. But this morning it was really just a thank you for participating. We all enjoy any time you come on and we can hear those beautiful words there come from your heart. So thank you very much again.
You're more than welcome. Mm-hmm. Thank you. She put together the Unity Prayer for that day, and it happened from 6 a.m. to 12 in the afternoon, and it was very powerful to be a part of different religions, different races of people coming together to pray. And it was very, very powerful. And so I was grateful to be one of the selected prayers. Thank you so much for asking me. All right, family, any more questions, comments, or concerns? Just press 1 on Blog Talk Radio and star 6 if you're in the teleconference. All right. Well, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you again. Wednesday, Deborah and Janine will be together on Wednesday here, Finding Your Voice. We're going to have Ashanti J come on this week. Ashanti J is from Chicago, originally from L.A., and she's going to be talking about trust. She owns this gym here called Mind, Body, and Spirit, 360 Mind, Body, and Spirit. And when I tell you this is a passionate young lady, she's a beautiful, passionate young lady who is going to talk about her journey of finding her perfect divine body weight. And she says that what I love about her story, though, is her releasing her weight came from falling in love. And love is what released the weight from her body. You know, we take love and joy lightly. But when you can find love and joy on this planet, it's so easy to effortlessly to attract the things we desire, from releasing weight to attracting more abundance, to more powerful, loving relationships with your husband, with friends. Love and joy is such twin sisters, I call, because when you have those, you can manifest in ways that you can never think, ask, or imagine. When you're focusing in on the energy of love and joy, and when you navigate life with such love and joy, it takes effortless energy to attract that Ephesians 3:20 kind of life when you're living in your joy and your happiness. And so a lot of times when people ask me, how do I find my purpose? First of all, you are already your purpose. I would just say follow the love, follow the joy, follow the bliss, and then you will find clarity on what it is that you came to the planet to do. Because you are already your purpose. You can never, never not live your purpose, whether we want to believe it or not. It's so many, you know, cliches. Well, I want to find my purpose, but you are your purpose. You know, when I got questioned after I got off the stage on Saturday at the Remarkable Conference, many people asked very similar questions. Well, how did you find your purpose? And how did you? And I'm like, you know what? It's interesting that I didn't find my purpose. I just found clarity in my purpose, and the clarity came from the love journey. You know, it's interesting, my girlfriend and I would get on the phone, and I loved Renee. She was my best friend, and she was one girl that we could shop together. We would read these inspirational books together, and we were reading a book by Ayana Vinzani. And then Ayana said, if you want to know your purpose, close your eyes and ask it to be revealed to you. And every time I closed my eyes, I saw myself standing in front of a large audience with a microphone, and I kept saying, oh, that can't be my purpose. And I would open my eyes. And then whenever we did it again, I would close my eyes, and I was standing in front of a large audience speaking. And I was like, nothing. And I kept denying it for years because I could never see Janine being a person who would stand in front of a big audience speaking. Matter of fact, a small audience. Matter of fact, in any audience, because One, I didn't think I had a good command of the English language, and what would I talk about, and who would listen? That was never in my forecast. It's interesting, growing up, I thought, oh, God, you gave all these people these wonderful talents, but you didn't give me nothing, God. These people know what they want to be. All my friends knew they wanted to be doctors and lawyers, and I didn't know what I wanted to be. I think my biggest aspiration, when I say this, you might want to hang up the phone, was to be a madam, because, you know, that's what I grew up in, you know. Growing up in the streets of Chicago, the pimps seemed to have all the money in the game, so I wanted to be like them. And so I started reading books, Donald Goins and Iceberg Slim, and that's what I wanted to do. But it's so interesting how God is. God is so amazing. One day I was thinking about the whole idea of what I wanted to do when I was growing up. It came upon me when I was walking across the campus of Chicago State University when I was graduating that year. And I was thinking, wow, this little girl from the south side of Chicago who only thought when she got up was how to survive and how to live and how to thrive and how to eat, right, is graduating from college. And actually, my thought was to teach women how to live, you know, a life and get money from men, right? And it was interesting that I teach women, but not in that way. I teach women how to live and extrapolate everything they desire from the universe, from within, and how that manifested from where I used to. But it all came about on the journey. You know, just journey, just, you know, seeing my gifts and beginning to recognize my gifts. And the love journey brought more clarity. Being here brought more clarity to what I was already doing naturally. You see, people were already calling me to be inspired, or when they wanted some wisdom or direction. I was already coaching people before they even called it a life coach, because it was a natural. It was natural to the nature of who I was. So when I started thinking about what it was I came to the planet to be, and God started unfolding it, the clarity came. I'm not doing any different than what I always did right now. I'm not doing anything different. I'm not all of a sudden living in my purpose. I was always living in my purpose. It's just that I didn't have the clarity to know that I was doing it. Now I'm learning how to clarify it and package it and create something different with it. But at first, when I started looking back, I was always living my purpose. It was natural to the nature of who I was. Interesting, maybe some of you all remember this, I looked up the word being, because, you know, you hear people always say, don't chase success, be success, right? Don't chase money, be money. And I used to think, well, what does that really mean? You don't have to chase love. You just have to be love, and then love will come. Like, well, what did that really mean? You know, and I'm not one to really circulate some that I don't really understand. So I start like really digging into what it meant to be love, what it meant to be success, what is it meant to be anything. And when I looked up the word being, the synonyms was what blew my mind. It was the soul, it was the spirit. So being something is the soul essence of, or the true nature of who it is that we are. So when we're being success, or we're being love, it's the true nature of who we already are. It's effortlessly. It's allowing. It's moving the conditions and the veil to allow ourselves to be exactly what we came to the planet to be, which is love, which is abundance, which is all the things that we are heir to the throne of, which is all the characteristics of the Creator, which is all that we are already in the image and likeness of. So I don't know why I count on this right here, but somebody needed that. And so I just wanted to share that you're already on your own purpose. And so many times we define purpose by how much money we make. But I want to share this with you. When you first out on your journey, sometimes everybody's journey is not the same, but sometimes the journey of finding or figuring out or finding clarity as you unfold, sometimes the money seems to slow up. But let me say this to you. The consistency of you journeying you and mastering you. When those doors of prosperity open, it will open up like a floodgate upon your life. And when I tell you, the other side of that journey is going to bless you more than you can ever think, ever think, ask, or imagine. See, the fear of not having sometimes gets us caught up. And I remember the day where I wasn't fearing when it didn't show up the way I thought. Because, see, when you used to getting a paycheck every 2 weeks, it was interesting. When I was making six figures and it went from six figures to nothing, and God said, I thought you said, I was your source and your supply. You get up every morning on that love journey prayer, and you say, God, God, you are the source of and supply of my unlimited supply. God is the source of my unlimited supply. Everything and everybody prospers me now. That was our affirmation every morning. God is the source of my unlimited supply. Everything and everybody prospers me now. We were saying it every morning, right? And when I got laid off, and I couldn't see the physical idea of money coming in at that point. And I was laying in the bed, and the spirit said, but I thought you said I was your source and your supply. Then why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Because you don't have that source or that channel coming in anymore. Now, let me be honest. I haven't made those kind of money I made when I was working yet. But moving from that space of fear to knowing that the source got me was my biggest challenge. And I'm so excited to report to you today that when things are physically showing up in a way that is not abundant, I know how to go within and use my spiritual tools. And see, that was the work that I had to do, because I had to go from a hard work consciousness to a consciousness to understand that God would give me a house that I didn't build, give me land I didn't toil. Because when I got laid off for work, I'll never forget that scripture kept coming to my mind. God said, I'll give you a house you didn't build. I'll give you a land you didn't toil. I'll give you an oil rig you didn't dig. And it kept coming to my mind over and over again. But faith without works kept coming to my mind, because I thought faith without works meant I had to physically do something in order to acquire a house or in order to acquire. And I thought it was something physical I was supposed to be doing. But all the time, the work was spiritual. You see, I kept trying to manage the physical when I should have been managing my spiritual, emotional self. And as I managed my emotions, it got better and better and better all the time. So what am I saying to you? What I'm saying to you is this. When the children of Israel were going through that wilderness period, it was to build the faith muscle. It was to build the trust in the universe, in themselves, in the knowing that they can retract themselves and going right into the center and being able to acquire what they need every day for sustenance. They could acquire manna from heaven. And when they get to the point where they had understood that everything comes from the center of them, then they can walk right into the promised land when they had embodied it in their heart. You see, Moses was about the law of thought, and Joshua embodied the heart. And when we have the seed planted, it's not until it's manifested into our heart that we walk into the promised land. And so as I began to walk in my promised land of my milk and honey, as I see everything is starting to move into place from the work that I've done, I promise you, if you keep doing the work and keep doing the work of mastering yourself, you will have that Ephesians 3:20 life more than you can ever think, ask, or imagine. You see, we wonder why we keep struggling. My sisters, who we keep coming together and we put these events and we asking ourselves, where is the more than enough experience? And the last event I put together, I know I must be getting it together because it was so easy and so effortless. That last goddess workshop, I didn't have to think about nothing. It just kept putting itself together. And money was flowing. And when it didn't show, I sit in the middle of the bed and I meditate and it showed up. Family, do the work. The work. The work. And it only works if we work it. That's my message for today. It only works if we work it. You're already enough. You're already more than enough. You are already deserving. You are already an heir. All we have to do is remove the conditions, the veils, the pattern, the behavior that is created, the idea that we have to struggle, that we have to know, family. It gets better. It gets better and better and better, I promise you, if we do the work. Have we done those money consciousness worksheets? I'm telling you, they're powerful tools to begin to develop our relationship with money. And also, open our hearts to thinking that somebody else needs to do something different. We still looking at, I still hear women, no matter what we're talking about, how their husband or men, let that go right now and get into your own anointing. And when you get into your own anointing, your husband will show up where he needs to show up. Your children will show up the way they need to show up. Your money going to show up where it needs to show up. Your career going to show up the way it needs to show up. Get into your anointing. Get into your anointing. Serve. Get into your anointing. Ladies, get into your anointing. And your anointing is all about you. We come to the planet to master self. And I'm sorry to tell you that nobody else can do it for you. Nobody can do it for you. You got to do this thing. Aren't you worth it? I love that commercial. Because you're worth it. It's a little beat that's go with it. It's a Revlon commercial and it goes, because you're worth it. And oftentimes I think I love that little line, because you're worth it. So I want to say today, because you're worth it. Invest in you, because you're worth it. Invest in your soul, because you're worth it. All right, family. I want you to do that today. I want you to just invest in you. Go on yourself a lovetarian diet. Loving yourself some you. Mastering yourself some you. I'm telling you, just sit with yourself and ask, how can I serve the wisdom? How can I be a tool or a vessel to be used in this planet? Just start off with a simple question and take your journal and simply answer whatever comes to your mind. It's so worth it, family. It's so worth it. Whew, this journey called life, it can be so beautiful and so amazing if you let it be. All right, family, I'm going to get ready and get out of here. I know I keep saying that, and I promise you I'm going to do it this time. So I just want to remind you that your life is a gift from God, and what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember the truth of love. Love is a choice. And remember, don't just dream, but live your God-sized dreams. And this is May's family. I could tell you were falling in love with me by the look in your eyes. Right here on the love journey. I just want to tell you, I'm super excited. I might be jumping the gun, but I'm just super excited. Chicago has a new radio station, 95.1. Guess who's going to be coming on Fridays after the Tom Joyner Morning Show, where I'll tell you soon as I get all the paperwork. And I'm going to be playing my favorite kind of music, Stepping Music Club, Stepping in the House, family, 95.1 with Lady J, Stepping on Club, Stepping. This is Frankie Beverly and Maze, The Look in Your Eyes. Yes, I could tell you were falling in love with me by the look in your eyes. Ooh, those big brown eyes.
Good morning, Janine. Good morning.
Oh, you didn't want to hear me sing. Good morning.
No. Congratulations.
I was just playing.
Thank you.
Congratulations. You
deserve it.
Yeah. Thank you so much. No, you don't have to tell me. I mean, did you have a question?
I just want to send you some liberation.
Girl, I love that. I love that. Thank you so much for saying congratulations. I appreciate your love and energy. I appreciate your spirit. And I'm sending you lots of love, too, right back.
Yeah, I accept it, too. You have a blessed, beautiful day, my love.
I will. How's everything going out there? Oh, you know, before we go, too, I want to send lots of love into our East Coast family.
Janine, I'm sorry, you asked me a question.
I was just saying, how's it going out there? You know, because you're not affected by the flood or weather or anything like that, right?
No. I'm in a boogie down block. You didn't get that yet.
Good.
Anything is ironically delicious. That I was telling you about an incident we were talking about it, but guess what happened to the person? They ended up under 8,000 pounds of sheetrock.
Really?
Yes, crushed. I'm sorry for me to laugh, but that's why I say it's ironic.
Oh, so they couldn't hurt nobody no more. Oh, wow.
Right.
That is a blessing. Well, that's a blessing in its own way. It's a blessing. Yes.
Yes. Yes, it is. I thought so.
Well, you know, everything happens in mysterious ways sometimes. We don't understand why, but they do what they do. God do what God does. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you. That's what I said. Father, you work in mysterious ways. Thank you. So I'm going to let you go. Peace. I love you. I'm coming from a walk. I'm walking early in the morning after I make my 5 o'clock prayer. I'm outside walking through the park and getting them miles in. So I'm on my way.
Well, thank you
back.
For taking care of your body.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. All part of the healing, right?
Yes. And my prayers are with you. I'm keeping you lifted in prayer.
Thank you, sister. I appreciate it.
All right. All right, as we send love to all the North Carolina, South Carolina, and all the energy of the hurricane, we send a love out there to them today. All right, family. You've been tuned in to The Love Journey, Janine Ann Ingram, and this is Frankie Beverly. I could tell you were in love with me by the look in your eyes.
You knew it all. You look so good to me.